Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Yesterday, Governor Phil Scott signed the bill that will legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Vermont. The governor did not hold a public signing ceremony, preferring to add his signature on the final day he could do so in a private moment in his office. Scott said he wanted to be respectful of the fact that not everyone in Vermont thinks this is a celebratory moment. But now it is official. Starting on July 1st, it will be legal to grow and smoke or otherwise consume marijuana. But that doesn't mean you can do it anywhere. There are a lot of restrictions. And now employers are going to have to grapple with this new law as well. Obviously, they can restrict you from smoking on the job, but what about drug testing? Could they effectively prevent employees from using marijuana even in their off time by starting or increasing drug testing? And having a positive test for marijuana be grounds for dismissal? What kinds of policies need to be changed, if any, for, say, law enforcement recruitment? There are a lot of unknowns, but employers are already thinking about these issues. And we are joined now by Beth Radigan of the law firm Downs Racklin Martin. She specializes in employment and labor law and actually presented at a panel on marijuana legalization and drug testing in November. Beth, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I also want to note that Downs Racklin Martin is a VPR underwriter. Now, Beth, are you seeing employers already thinking about this, worried about it, feel like they have it all figured out? What's the lay of the land as you see it?
Yes, employers are definitely thinking about it. And I think there's a lot of concern about what does this mean for us? What should we be doing? My first response to that is I usually tell them, you know, the practical effect is that there may be no change into what you actually do, although we are going to see some incremental changes as people look at their policies. But this new law, as you mentioned in the intro, it really doesn't change anything in terms of what employers can do to restrict any use of marijuana while they're at work or being under the influence while at work. So from that perspective, it doesn't really change things.
Maybe needs to be spelled out, though, in some HR policies that, you know, perhaps didn't have it in the past because it was an illegal or something that wasn't sanctioned by the state, but now
right.
It's and, like alcohol.
And exactly. That's the thing that I am talking to employers about. This is the time to sort of look at your policies anew and sharpen them if you need to by including if you're just referencing illegal drugs in your policy, then you'll need to change that to encompass things. Many employers have policies that address alcohol already, for instance, which is, of course, legal. And those policies prohibit being under the influence of alcohol at work. So in the same way, people who don't have specific policies will want to change those policies to make sure that they are prohibiting the use of marijuana while at work or being under the influence while they're at work as well.
Okay, so Beth Radigan, you know, an employer could say, much as with alcohol, you are not allowed to be under the influence while you are working or while you're on call. You know, those are pretty established policies. Could an employer say, I know it's legal in the state of Vermont, but it is not legal for you to use marijuana if you want to work here, and just put it into policy, you cannot use marijuana?
Well, then you get into some area that perhaps is not completely explored at this point, but you certainly can have drug-free workplace policies and say you can't be under the influence here. You can have pre-employment drug testing, and you can have a zero-tolerance policy in your pre-employment drug testing, and that pre-employment testing requires that employers have a policy in effect, and it can only be done after a conditional offer of employment has been made to the employee. So you can't just test all applicants. You must first offer them a job and then tell them that it's conditioned upon a drug-free test. So you can do that from that perspective, and even if someone is not currently under the influence, as we know, the marijuana will appear in systems for some time after someone is no longer under the influence. And employers can eliminate an applicant if they still test positive under that pre-employment testing.
So even though marijuana will be legal in the state, and even though it is known that drug tests will show, as you said, marijuana in your system long after you are actually under the influence of marijuana, an employer could still say, as a condition of drug testing, if you test positive for marijuana, you cannot get this job. We will not employ you, even though it's legal, it will be legal, and we know you're probably not under the influence. They will still be allowed to say, if your test comes back positive, we're not hiring you.
That's true at this point. Now, there may be tests developed in the future where they're able to tell, you know, some levels that would somehow impair someone's ability in some way. And then, of course, that rule would change. But right now, as it exists, that employers can say, sorry, you tested positive, that doesn't count. There is one caveat to that, and that's when you get into the medical marijuana area, where now currently there in Vermont, at least, there is no difference that even if someone has a medical marijuana card, for instance, and that applicant tests positive for marijuana, as the current law exists, there's nothing that requires an employer to accommodate that use at this point. Mm. However, we see this as an emerging or potential emerging issue. And our neighbors to the south in New England, it's Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, each of their state courts have recently, in the past year, had cases where those state courts have decided that under state disability discrimination laws, employers may have an obligation to accommodate a medical marijuana user. Or at least they may have an obligation to have a discussion, an interactive dialogue with that employee about whether that use can be accommodated.
So that's under disability laws. Once it's recreationally legal in Vermont, as it is in some of our neighboring states, do you expect there will be lawsuits maybe that are not trying to be put under that particular category, but, you know, maybe civil liberties type lawsuits that, you know, I'm doing something that's legal in my off time and you can't test it in that way?
Yeah, I mean, we may see some of that. I think right now, the way the law is written, there is nothing that requires an employer to employ someone that tests positive, and because there's no more specific way to tell whether someone is how impaired that person may be. So we have an imprecise tool to measure, and at least as the way the law stands now, it does allow employers to say we are not going to employ people we have with any kind of level, regardless of it's legal. And I guess there's the same. It is possible, I understand, that someone could have a test for alcohol. And if that person had been a heavy drinker the night before, it's possible that alcohol could still show up in someone's system. But in the same way, an employer is free to use those tools that that is as available to it to say, you know, I'm sorry, it tested positive. We can't, you know, have you here. but I do also want to make the distinction in Vermont between that pre-employment testing and then the post-employment. In Vermont, employers cannot randomly drug test their employees, and it's a pretty important thing for employers to keep in mind. They may only test employees if there's probable cause that a suspicion that they are under the influence, and generally that requires some reasonable factors that would lead a person to believe that someone is under the influence.
So when you say you can't randomly test employees, can you routinely test them? Could you say we're going to have a once-a-month drug test, you know it's coming, but this is part of the conditions of employment?
No, you cannot. You can only test an employee when you have probable cause to believe that that individual is under the influence.
I see. So you couldn't have a situation where an employer was trying to prevent employees from using marijuana by instituting or ramping up drug tests for current employees.
Correct.
Interesting. Let's go to Victor calling in from Concord. Hi, Victor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. That most recent comment about the Vermont employers, I think federal law with the CDL, commercial driver's license law, supersedes that. There's random drug testing on a regular basis for anybody who has a commercial driver's license. And I know that something has to be done. You don't want to throw a bunch of kids in jail for smoking weed. But the fact is, there's been a lot of accidents in the state of Vermont where there has not been automatic drug testing like there is downcountry. I've been a blue-collar heavy equipment operator for 30 years, we've had drug testing, and I know it doesn't, the weed test doesn't measure intoxication, but boo-hoo. You can't work on Amtrak. You can't work for CSX. No railroads, no oil refineries. I mean, I don't know what the young people think they're going to do, but if you smoke weed now, you're going to disqualify yourself from a lot of high-paying jobs.
And, Victor, do you think that's a good thing? I mean, should there be more testing? Are you advocating for more testing of more people, or do you think there should be less?
Absolutely. There has to be. I mean, licensed business, there has to be drug testing. Mm. It's already required in the whole rest of the country. How do you have an industrial accident like on Burke Mountain a couple of weeks ago where a machine gets rolled over and you don't automatically... I've been where there was minor accidents. Everybody on the job gets sent for immediate alcohol and drug screening. And if you're hot, you're gone. And people, mm-hmm. I'm talking about people making $40 an hour base rate, not including the benefit package, which gets you up close to $100 an hour working at oil refineries and nuclear power plants. These are coveted jobs, and you got to make a choice. Either you stay clean or you get in the unemployment roll.
Yeah, Victor, I appreciate your point. And Beth Radigan, to the question of CDLs and federal law and state law, and when we talk about preemption, does it get complicated or what's the issue?
Well, it can be, although I do want to reiterate that, yes, anytime someone is required to have a commercial driver's license, and the federal law on CDLs is going to apply. And yes, of course, under those circumstances, an employer can and must test. So those federal laws will trump the state no limits on drug testing. So absolutely. But those CDL laws don't necessarily cover all employees. For instance, it doesn't cover an employee who's operating a forklift in a warehouse, for instance. You're not required to have a CDL to do that. And some employer might say, you know, geez, I think it's just as important to have, a drug-free operator of a forklift because it could be dangerous. And that's a reasonable point of view, I think, from an employer standpoint. But automatic testing or regular testing is under state law not permissible.
Today we're looking at how employment law and the new marijuana legalization law are likely to come into contact. We're talking today with Beth Radigan, who specializes in labor and employment law at Downs Rackland Martin. And we're hearing from a lot of people with questions and thoughts on this. Jennifer's calling in from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Go right ahead.
Good. You know, as soon as I heard that the governor had signed this legislation, I wondered what kind of an effect it was going to have on nursing and the hospital profession. I live in St. Johnsbury, but I am a nursing hiring manager, or it's one of my jobs, and I'm over the border in New Hampshire, but I know that it is going to affect sooner or later. Probably 40-50% of our staff are Vermont residents. So while, you know, it won't apply for New Hampshire for now, it's something that our HR department is going to have to tackle. And I think that, my own feelings about it are really very neutral. I don't quite understand why we treat marijuana any differently than we treat alcohol. But the testing hasn't caught up. You know, if I suspect that somebody is intoxicated at work, I can do a test and I can get an answer on that very, very quickly. The same does not apply for marijuana usage because of the length of time that it stays in the system. And I don't know how employers are going to address that divide. The same way I don't know how, you know, state police or, you know, people who are pulling intoxicated drivers over are going to address it.
Yeah.
I would never be comfortable just saying on behavior alone that somebody is off. I rely on that test. And I just don't, I wonder how is this going to play out in licensed professions, particularly where, they're responsible for patient safety, patient lives, medications, controlled substances.
Yeah, Jennifer, it's an interesting question. And Beth Radigan, I imagine that's the kind of question you're hearing from employers when they start to think about this.
It is. And what I have traditionally recommended to employers is, you know, you don't need to drug test. There's no requirement that you have to drug test. And the requirements of the drug testing law are such that it sometimes doesn't help because you can't drug test in many situations. So I do remind employers that you don't need to drug test, and you can focus on the conduct or the behavior or the incident at hand that gives some suspicion that there's something impairing an individual. And the caller's right. It is sometimes very difficult to tell, particularly, I think, with the marijuana law. And I think that was one of the bigger complicating factors. You can, for instance, if someone is under the influence of alcohol, you can often smell it, or there are certain kind of behaviors. They may be weaving. They may be unsteady. They may exhibit other kind of classic behaviors. And with marijuana, it may be more difficult to make that observation. But there are some observations that you can make. For instance, you know, whether there's an odor, if someone's going out in their car during their break and using marijuana and then coming back in, there could be an odor. Although there, you know, if there are edibles or something else, it's not necessarily they're not going to be an odor. But you can look for other signs in the way they are behaving, the conduct, they're making mistakes, if they're suddenly changing the way they would do something, if they're suddenly very slow or they're avoiding supervisors. So there are other indicators. And one of the pieces of advice that I give to employers is that you really need to train your managers and your supervisors to be kind of on the lookout for that sort of thing, because that's the best tool that employers have at this point to determine whether, you know, there's a concern. And I can appreciate the caller's concerns, certainly in the healthcare industry and where there are jobs where safety is involved. It is a big concern for employers, and it's difficult not to be able to immediately test without, you know, having to go through the whole probable cause analysis. But if a supervisor or a manager sees and observes these factors that may indicate someone's under the influence, you can terminate that person. You can discipline that person. You don't have to be 100% correct, but you can focus on the conduct or the performance problem. And you can take action based on that. You don't have to have a positive test result in order to terminate.
If you drug test someone and their test comes back positive for marijuana or other substances, are you required to offer that employee the chance to go into treatment and then come back and get his or her job back?
Yes. That is a provision of the drug testing law in Vermont, so that once not only do you have to have probable cause, if you do have probable cause and you have a test and it's positive, you have to have some sort of EAP program or some kind of program for that that allows that employee to seek drug treatment, and you have to give that person a leave of absence to attend that drug treatment, and then they have to bring that person back. Now, a subsequent drug test based on probable cause after that initial one, if a subsequent drug test comes back positive, you can terminate immediately.
But in other words, I mean, ethics aside, it's easier for an employer to terminate an employee based on behavior on the job without a drug test than with a drug test, because if you drug test and the test comes back positive, you have this legal obligation to allow the employee to seek treatment.
That's absolutely right.
Hmm. It's interesting. Let's go to Blake, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Blake.
Hello. Thank you so much for doing this segment. I would like to point out that I think a lot of this comes down to an issue of some form of discrimination and stereotyping that dates back to Reefer Madness and all that ridiculousness. And that now that it's going to be legal, finally, you know, we need to accept that our politicians chose that and the people spoke up. And just like we don't test for alcohol in the workplace, what people do.
Ooh, Blake, we're losing your line, but I think I know where you were going with that. That you know, if it's legal and we're not testing for alcohol, you know, unless we have probable cause to think that somebody is actively impaired, why would we do it for marijuana? It's a good point to make here in this conversation about what will be a legal recreational substance in the state of Vermont. Beth, I'm curious about other types of employers who might be thinking about policies surrounding this, like law enforcement agencies. Marijuana has been, not a legal substance for recreational use. And so if you think about recruiting strategies for law enforcement officers, for example, where in the recruiting you can say, have you ever used marijuana before? And that could be a disqualifying characteristic if you said yes. Do you see agencies like that thinking about changing policies once it's legal to say, well, if you've done it in the past, it was legal before you were a police officer, we can't really realistically expect everyone to have not used it?
I think there will be some of that. And I think certainly as laws across the country change, we'll be seeing a change in people's attitudes and kind of the stigma that has been previously associated with it. I think that is likely to happen. You know, marijuana in some form is legal now in at least 30 states. So either medical marijuana or decriminalized in some way. So I think it's somewhat inevitable as the march forward in people's the laws and correspondingly in people's attitudes that you will see some of that. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think there may be some holdover, and it will be a gradual process as some of law enforcement. I mean, there's nothing prohibiting law enforcement from still continuing to hold out that we don't want anyone to have used, even if they're legal drugs. I suppose they could do that. I think it might become just more and more unrealistic as marijuana is legalized in much the same way that, at one time alcohol was illegal and we got through that period of time. So I think it will change, and I think it'll be gradual.
Let's go to Jenny calling in from Morrisville. Hi, Jenny. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. Yes, I'm curiously interested in the notion of under the influence. And just for perspective, I was in a company, an organization in which I, because I had a green card, I challenged their policy. Their lack of policy, I guess I should say. But for a longer range perspective, I've been smoking cannabis since 1975 almost daily. Raised four successful children, oldest of which is a doctor with a prestigious fellowship, and a long career, including management with a Fortune 100 company, all during that time smoking cannabis. And the idea of under the influence, where does it stop and what are we putting our energy into? What about people who take sleeping pills? Where does it stop? And this is a legal substance.
Yeah, Jenny, I want to pick up on that because we're short on time. But it's you bring up this interesting cultural perspective. And Beth, that's kind of what you were talking about. And as you look to employers who are thinking, okay, what if anything do I need to do in the intervening months before July 1st? Culture really comes into it. So what are you advising people who are thinking about the kinds of things that Jenny's talking about?
Right. And I have actually raised that issue sometimes with employers when I say, well, what are you doing now for your employees who are taking other substances legally? They may be prescribed for pain or for sleep or for, whatever health reason they may have. Are you, what are you doing about those individuals? And they are out there for sure. So I think that's just a little bit of reflecting for the employers to do. Okay, so maybe we don't either we should be concerned about everyone who may be using drugs legally, but maybe somehow under the influence of that drug. But I would say I would give the same advice if you notice that someone is there's some impact on their conduct or their performance where you're wondering what's wrong. You can focus in on that conduct rather than whether or not they're actually under the influence. Some employers have policies that require employees to report when they are under a some sort of narcotic or something to treat legally prescribed, but to treat for some condition, and they want to know particularly if they're operating machinery and that kind of thing. And that's not a bad idea to have when you're in an environment where safety is involved. And I think you can also look at the kind of work environment and the job that's at issue. Obviously, if you're using heavy equipment and there's or other kinds of things, there are safety issues that may not be applicable if someone simply has a desk job.
Hmm. Well, boy, I bet a lot of employers and employees even are starting to think about this if they haven't already. And Beth, I want to thank you for being on the program and highlighting this and helping us think it through. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Beth Radigan specializes in labor and employment law at Downs Racklin Martin. Downs Racklin Martin is a VPR underwriter.